Well, we've been working with cultivars in verticillium wilt fields. We've been working with cultivars in verticillium wilt fields since 2005. And this program's been funded most every year by the Cotton State Support Group in Texas, and it is an expensive program. It's a large program, and I want to emphasize how important it is to be able to do this and count on doing this every year. We can line up a lot of good producers to work with, and it's really been a fine program. Jason and I both feel that the kind of the cornerstone of management for verticillium wilt starts with the variety selection. And then there's some other things that Jason's going to talk about that we think will add to management of verticillium wilt, but this one's going to be primarily on the variety selection. Verticillium wilt's been pretty bad in Texas, the high plains of Texas, since about 2004. Historically, the region's been a good region for verticillium wilt, but I think some of the stripper varieties that we were growing in the 80s and the 90s kept it to what I would call a manageable level. But since we switched mainly to picker varieties starting around 2000, and then we had a perfect weather year in 2004 for verticillium wilt that really jump-started it. Since then, it's become the number one disease problem every single year in the high plains, even in hot, dry years. It's really not dependent on weather anymore. The fungus infects through the roots, and then it sits near the base of the stem for a while, and usually around flowering it starts to spread systemically, assuming you've got good environmental conditions then. And we'll see wilt symptoms primarily, well, we'll see them starting in August, but I've noticed most years the fields really don't start melting down until September, so we do make a lot of observations in August on wilt. But we really haven't found a good way to characterize the serious meltdown that comes later in the season. We do use incidence to characterize plants that are showing wilt symptoms, and we probably need a little better way to characterize what's going on besides just straight incidence. The list of things that we've investigated, and besides cultivar, includes irrigation management, seed density, crop rotation, and then using the fumigant Vapam, as well as chlorpicrin. And Jason will go into some of those other options in his talk. This method we use is a plot size of 35 foot long, 2 rows wide, a randomized complete block design with 4 replications. We usually put 32 entries in a site, plant with 4 seed per foot, using a cone planter, and then we take stand counts once we've got a stand established. Wilt incidence is measured from late July through August, and then we harvest the plots with a cotton stripper. Samples that we take from each harvested plot are then ginned to get a percent lint turnout. These are stripped, and so we get a lot of trash as well as seed and lint in there, and then we send the lint samples off for HVI testing. I'm just going to run through several fields that we looked at, and this probably puts you to sleep with all these variety names, but the color scheme I use is the Fibromax and the AFD varieties are listed in blue. The next gen varieties, which you may not be familiar with, are listed in orange. Next gen was a kind of a subset of Stoneville that was developed in the High Plains, and I believe they have a kind of a picker stripper background, and so they may be a little bit tighter than your normal picker type varieties. The green bars would be a Delta Pine variety or a Paymaster variety, which is a stripper type Delta Pine variety. The light blue would be Stoneville. The black would be Cropland Genetics, abbreviated as CG. The yellow is Phytogen. The pink is Americot. And I think that's all the ones on this particular slide. This was a fairly northern site for us, a fairly short season site, planted very early. The microscrotia population in the soil at planting was about 8 per cc soil, which is not very high. And it was a well cared for field and yielded very nicely. The top varieties there were the Fibromax 9180 B2 Flex, Next Gen 2549 B2 Flex, Fibromax 9058 Flex, and Fibromax 9063 B2 Flex, and then we had quite a drop-off after that. Okay, I'm going to switch to another site. You can see in our shorter season sites, the Fibromax clearly dominated, as well as that one Next Gen variety, which was a new one. Our next site at Ropesville is kind of a little bit more in the center, the middle part of the High Plains, a little bit longer growing season, but in this case, the field got, it was a sandy field that got beat up real bad from the wind and hail, and so it was very delayed in maturing, and probably was more of a short season site this year as well. It is a root knot site. The top variety here, Next Gen 2549 B2 Flex, which was number two in the previous site. AFD 5064 Flex, which is a stripper type. Next Gen 3348 B2 Flex, which is also a fairly new variety that's been recently introduced from Next Gen. Next Gen is now being sold under Americot. And then Delta Pine 104 B2 Flex, which is a stripper type. And then the FiberMax 9180 B2 Flex. So you can see we've still dominant. We still got some blue there, but the Next Gen did very well at this site. And we've gotten some Delta Pine stripper types starting to creep into the top mix there, but no picker types yet. The third site that I'm going to talk about, Slayton, this is also in the middle part of the High Plains. This field, the previous site averaged, I think that one averaged about 50 microscorrhoea per cc soil, fairly hot. This site averaged 292 microscorrhoea per cc soil, very, very hot site. And you can see the yields are low. These are all irrigated fields. And this grower has had a terrible time in a number of years trying to get good yields in these hot soils. The top variety was the stripper, AFD 5064 Flex, and then followed by the picker from Delta Pine, 104 B2 Flex, and then FiberMax 9058 B2, or just Flex, and then FiberMax 1740 B2 Flex, and then Next Gen 1572 B2 Flex. So we're seeing, I guess, less differences between the varieties at this site, not the real high yields either. Nothing really looked that good at this particular site under the massive pressure that we had. The La Mesa, this was a replant site. It ended up being going in the ground around the 3rd or 5th of June, I think. The one that actually kept, the first one was hailed out. The top variety there was this Next Gen 2549 B2 Flex again, which has been was in the top three in every single site that we planted it. And then the Delta Pine 104 B2 Flex, the stripper type has been mentioned in several, but you can see a pretty big drop off after the Next Gen 2549. That was really the only one that looked decent at this particular site. And then the last one I'm going to show is Garden City. That is really in the rolling plains. This is a drip irrigated field, beautiful high production field with drip tape under every row. And you can see the now we're starting to see, besides the FiberMax varieties, we're starting to see some Delta Pine picker types that look good. The longer season Delta Pine one, the 164 B2 Flex and the Delta Pine 161 B2 Flex, and then the Delta Pine 143 B2 Flex and Delta Pine 141 B2 Flex all did pretty well at this site. And so when you give the Delta Pine picker types a little longer growing season, I think they're very competitive in these verticillium wilt fields as well. The top yielding was the 9180 B2 Flex from FiberMax, followed by the 1740 B2 Flex. This work is so critical to have growers working with us on this, and I do want to mention their names briefly, who did work with us on that. The first site was Ron Graves, who actually was a plant pathologist who decided to hang up his microscope and go farm. The second site was Mr. Bradshaw, and Kerry Siders, the IPM agent from that location, was instrumental in that test as well. Third site was Bruce Lehman. Fourth site was Ronnie Thornton. Fifth site, the Garden City site here, was Mitchell Janis, and Warren Malter, the IPM agent there, is also very instrumental in that research program. And the sixth site, which I'm not going to present, had a lot of fusarium wilt as well as a little bit of verticillium. So I'm not going to present that since the fusarium did dominate. But that's Mr. McPherson there and Amanda Catinio is an IPM agent there, and she was very useful and very helpful in that. So the program is so dependent on the producers. I want to give them their due. This is looking at wilt across all the sites and also combining it across 2 years' work. What I do is I divide the incidence of wilt by the highest incident for that site, and so it puts everything on a 0 to 1 scale. If you had a 1, you would be the worst at every single site that you were planted. And this just gives you an idea of certain terms of symptom development. Paymaster 2141 B2 Flex had the least symptom development over all the sites it was planted, followed by Phytogen 315 Flex, and then Stoneville 4427 B2 Flex, and then Next Gen 2549 B2 Flex. And so we do look at the wilt incidences, but we're no longer seeing a real good correlation between incidence of wilt and yield. We used to actually have fairly strong correlations back when we were doing just Roundup Ready varieties. But with the advent of the Flex varieties, which is primarily what we test now, these are all Flex sites pretty much, we have seen poorer and poorer correlations between wilt and yield. So I do present that because I think there's still value in those varieties that have a slower development of wilt, but unfortunately they're not always the highest yielding ones. Of the lowest ones with wilt, the ones that did yield well, the Next Gen 2549 B2 Flex would have made the cut, the AFD 5064 Flex as a top yielding variety. The Next Gen 3348 B2 Flex would also have been in that top mix. But most of those that had very low levels of wilt were not in the top tier yielding of varieties. And then here's the relative yield across all the I think there's about 10 sites represented on in this data set. And you can see Next Gen 2549 led it in its first year, and then we had four Fibermax varieties, the 9058 Flex, the 9180 B2 Flex, the AFD 5064 Flex, and then the 9063 B2 Flex, followed by a stripper variety from Delta Pine, 104 B2 Flex, and then the Next Gen 3348 B2 Flex, and then we have two Delta Pine varieties, the 147 Flex and the 143 B2 Flex from Delta Pine. So we're trying to get a handle on what's the consistent performers across all these sites, and we hope this information is useful to our producers. I just wanted to show you for this year's data sets sort of the maximum losses that occurred at each site, and I've also got the microscorrhosia densities listed there. The first site that had only a density of 8, and we saw that the lowest yielding variety had 63% of the yield of the highest yielding variety, which was close to 600 pound difference. The second site, we had a density of 52, and we saw the lowest yielding variety only yielded 28% of what the highest yielding variety did. So enormous differences from variety at the second site. The third site, we had 292 microscorrhosia, and we saw a difference of 59% from the lowest to the highest. The fourth was a microscorrhosia density of 16, and we saw the lowest yielding 33% of what the highest yielding did. And then at the last site, we had a density of 36, and we saw a 70% difference from top to bottom. And I'll just list again for your, when I read off earlier, is kind of the best varieties and the worst varieties. I'll just kind of put that up there for just a second. So this is sort of the top cultivars is what we really push, if we can, for the producers. Okay, any questions?
Any time for questions?
I have a list of the results, and I'll just put them on that chair on the kind of the outside part in case anybody wants to have the individual test results to bring to their own producers. And we will, Jason and I will have that up on the internet probably by sometime in February, so, right.
All right, thanks.